The Irish have their Bloom's Day, the day they celebrate James Joyce. The Scots have their Robbie Burns Day, the day they all go out and hunt for haggis, and if they manage to successfully murder a haggis, they carry it to the table and lord over it. The English, though, do it differently. Yeah, what do the English do? The English have Shakespeare's birthday. And what do? They have a public lecture entitled Shakespeare the Psychologist, given by Sally, S-A-L-L-E-Y, Vickers. And that they called a Shakespeare birthday lecture. And they put that out on a couple of days before the actual birthday itself. Then the English hold a thing called yearofshakespeare.com, a huge World Shakespeare Festival in which there are 70 productions of drama from 37 countries. That's 36 plays and a narrative poem. And would you believe it, that's in 37 languages. And, you know, Erin Sullivan is the co-founder of that. She does. And then it's basically a cultural Olympiad. Then what else do the English do? The English do get the Royal Shakespeare Company to put on a shipwreck trilogy. Now, that's kind of really, you know, good old Tempest. Eat your heart out on the side of a beach, cast up and separated from the others. Don't ask me about the other shipwrecks in Shakespeare. I only did the Tempest at school. So what else do the English do? They get an institute called the Shakespeare Institute, and it gets together with a university called the University of Warwick, and it gets together with another place called the Shakespeare Birthplace Trust. And they organize an online discussion about the 70 productions, right? People chipping in their opinions on the 70 productions I've spoken about. And they have a hashtag called the Shakes Institute. S-H-A-K-E-S Institute. What else do the English do on Shakespeare's birthday? They organize a webinar. Right, imagine if Shakespeare was alive today, what fun he'd have on a webinar. Anyway, they have a webinar called Making Shakespeare, and at 4 o'clock on the afternoon of Shakespeare's birthday, on the 23rd of April 2012, a guy called Paul Edmondson, with a couple of academics whose names I can't remember or don't have written down in front of me at the moment, they have a public free webinar where you can even speak. And is that all? No, it isn't. It is not all. Because the other thing the English do, or they to celebrate Shakespeare's birthday, is they organize a video production of a piece of Shakespeare taken from Henry V. And they get a whole load of people to read, about 20 words out of it. And they put them all together into a YouTube video, which will probably go viral. They do that as well for Shakespeare's birthday. And surely that's all the English do on Shakespeare's birthday. Well, no, they have blooming breakfasts and they have, Michelin-starred restaurants given special reductions to people. And ultimately, we get to this one. They get to what else the English do. They hold a mass blog-in. A blog-in. What's a blog-in? Blog-in is where a whole load of bloggers in the world are encouraged to chip in under a hashtag. Yeah, what would Shakespeare have thought of a hashtag? Yeah, I mean, what kind of drugs did Shakespeare use anyway? Did he go for hashtags like the people on Twitter? Their drug is a hashtag, I suppose. But basically, they organize a hashtag called a Happy Birthday Shakespeare. And underneath this hashtag, you get all these bloggers contributing. And already, many people have contributed. And eventually, they'll all be pulled together into one place. So the English, in their usual understated, mild, understated manner, quietly get on with the business of having, you know, the greatest writer in the history of all humankind? Yeah, maybe the greatest writer in the whole of humankind in the English language, certainly. And they quietly, you know, raise a glass and, you know, do everything in the typical English understated manner. And of course, this drives the Irish mad, completely mad, because we Irish, you know, huge diaspora that we are, 40 million of us, you know, yeah, we can be as big as the English if we want to. We just have to organize our diaspora, you know. We celebrate Shakespeare in a different way, you know. We celebrate Shakespeare while having breakfast in a cafe in places like Glanmire, where we entertain ourselves on black pudding. And not content with entertaining ourselves on black pudding, we entertain ourselves on white pudding. And when that isn't enough, we have scrambled eggs. And if that isn't enough, we stuff ourselves silly with the sausages, chubby sausages, you know. So yeah, Shakespeare's birthday. Look, I have only one thing to say about Shakespeare, and it is that he made me who I am. Yeah. Two forces have made me who I am in life, and one of them was William Shakespeare, and the other was women. Women made me who I am, and Shakespeare. Now, if Shakespeare was a woman, I'd be able to say they were operating out of the same, you know, yard. But no. So, this is the second, or I think second published audiobook in a series of blogs in which I contribute my best to this theme. You know, and I am like a man possessed, really, by the idea that Shakespeare did so much to make the English language what it is today that I couldn't do enough to preserve his memory. You know, there is a fear I have, I suppose, that, you know, people will come to thinking that Shakespeare is too hard, too difficult. And, you know, okay, when I was at school, Shakespeare had some difficulties, but hardly any at all. And Shakespeare was not difficult, and Shakespeare wasn't difficult because of the English teacher, Owen O'Moore. And that is really, surely, the crux of the matter, you know. There are people I read on Twitter, and I'm sure if I went other places who would be, you know, who have been cursing Shakespeare, who have been saying he's difficult and boring and whatever. And he isn't. And, of course, from the vantage position that I now am at, where, you know, I have no academic interest in Shakespeare, I have to admit, you know. For me, Shakespeare is alive and kicking, and he comes out my mouth without me realizing that I'm speaking Shakespeare. You know, I can't actually help but, you know, anything I blooming well read, you know. Little phrases like, but by fair sequence and succession. I mean, that's the kind of language I use every single day when I'm talking to somebody. By fair sequence and succession, I will follow you down the road and we will have a pint together, man. And then things like, phrases like, good words to thee will flatter. Well, I mean, you know, all the blooming time here I am paying for my coffee and I say to the barista, you know, good words by thee will flatter. Anyway, look, I even, you know, other little phrases that I use all the time. I cannot prove a lover. I mean, this to my wife. I cannot prove a lover. Now, of course, that is either, you know, has she taken a lover and I cannot prove a lover, or else am I up to the job myself? I mean, what could be more interesting to have somebody who has written language which can be, you know, got across to people as being about the sexual, the sexual drama that everybody lives in, you know? Has she taken a lover? Or am I a good enough lover? You know, this is the stuff of modern life, you know? So look, to the English, I raise a cup of three quarters finished, half cold black coffee from a cafe in Glenmire in Ireland. And I happen across the final couplet, if you like, from Macbeth, Act 1, Scene 7, lines 25 to 28. Although this doesn't seem like lines 25 to 28 to me, because it's very, very short, but here we are. Vaulting ambition, which o'erleaps itself and falls on the other. I give you the upstanding to William Shakespeare.